This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour here brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We're going to buzz around the NFL in just a couple minutes. As I mentioned, Paul Gallant, who will take over this show along with Danny O'Neill from 7 to 10 starting on Monday. Paul will join us at 8:30 this morning, so coming up in a half hour. Hey, tonight. Tonight's Thursday. Is today Thursday?
Today is Thursday. Yeah.
Tonight, you can join 710 ESPN Seattle. It's Snoqualmie Casino for a live broadcast from 7 to 9. It is called Hawks Live, and it's every Thursday night during the NFL season. It's hosted by Dave Wyman, Paul Moyer, and Michael Bumpus, guy I just mentioned, who's going to be a part of doing things here in the morning. You can learn more at 710sports.com/events. The other cool part of this, and we've been talking about, is that every week our own Taylor Jacobs has been playing a video game while interviewing a player, and that gets comes out at 8:30 tonight. Taylor yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, played Fortnite with Shaquille Griffin. So Fortnite with Shaq. And that comes out tonight at 8:30, a full conversation with one of the twins, all about, life and football and everything else.
Did he win in Fortnite? Because I know NBA 2K, he's got his doors blown off.
I don't know whether they played together or against I don't know how that works.
I don't know how that works.
You'll have to tune in at 8:30.
It'll be. Played Fortnite?
I have not. No. 710sports.com. You can catch that on YouTube, on Twitch as well. Wherever it is you find your gaming videos, you can get Taylor and Shaq playing some Fortnite tonight. How about
Seriously,
that?
Seriously, dude, you have a little extra time. Wear the headsets, got a little speaker on it. You just wire in and play Fortnite.
I'm pretty, maybe I'll start doing that. I honestly tried when I got that Xbox Live. I tried to go through it, and I was like so confused just by setting it up that I couldn't ever make it. And that's one of the reasons we're not going to do a daily show anymore. It's like I can't even set up Fortnite. I don't think I'm capable of relating to people anymore. Let's go around the NFL. All right, it's mostly around the Seahawks, to be fair. It's sort of around the NFL rapid-fire style.
Is this around the NFL or rapid-fire? I need to know the difference. Are we no huddle?
It's both.
Are we up-tempo?
Oh, we're up-tempo.
We are
up-tempo. Mostly Seahawks. There's a little NFL thrown in. Maybe Kyle one last time will make some Spanish calls for us.
Oh, okay.
Vene! Listo! Hey, up!
All right, the Seahawks cut their fourth-round pick, Gary Jennings. Brock, is this good because their roster is so deep he couldn't make it, or bad because they wasted a fourth-round pick on a guy they cut after 3 weeks?
You know, I'm always a glass-half-full guy, and that's just by my nature, Mike. This roster is just so deep right now. It's just overflowing with talent, and unfortunately, Gary, with that hamstring injury, put himself behind the eight ball and could just never catch up. And he also, when he had opportunities, didn't maximize them.
I don't think it's just that he put himself behind the eight ball. Come on, man. This isn't just that he had an injury. If he had an injury and he was coming back and getting it, they don't cut their fourth round pick. Get out of here. This guy failed in every way. And yes, the roster is a little bit more competitive. And yes, he came in with two other young wide receivers along with Malik Turner. And they obviously saw more from those guys. So it's not like the worst thing in the world because John Ursua sticks at the seventh rounder. Yeah, if those picks had been reversed, you wouldn't necessarily have a problem. But don't peddle me some line about how a little injury caused all this. Get the heck out of here. This guy failed to make the team, Brock.
It is really interesting, that third and fourth round mix, and Jim Moore calls it the fourth round receiver curse, right? And you go through the years with different guys, Chris Durham, the receiver out of Kansas State, what was his name, Harper?
Yeah,
obviously,
Chris Harper.
Gary Jennings now a fourth round pick. I think you look at that situation, and those guys are sitting there on the board, Amara Darboh in the third round. They're sitting there for a reason, and they're picked in the third or fourth round for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was picked in the third round for a reason, and that was, well, you're not necessarily a starter, but you got enough measurables, you could start in this league. And those guys, every single one of them, Durham and Harper and Jennings and Darboh, all of them,
something.
They've all got measurables, be it size or be it unique speed. They've all got some measurables. But almost all of them had very meager college production.
And that does make sense. Those middle rounds are for risk picks.
All
they're guys who are not safe enough to take early.
Meager college production. Mm. And if you've got meager college production.
It's so funny, though, how this works. First round, you get the guys who have great production and great skill.
Correct.
Middle round, you get guys with great skill but no production and huge upside risk.
Or great production and
No, you get those guys later. That's where you get the guys in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round. I'm like, I don't think this guy projects, but man, was he good in college? Let's see. And you get that's when you get a John Ursua in the seventh round, right? I mean, that's where you get what's the kid from UMass that went to the Cardinals? Andy Isabella?
Isabella.
Did I get that right?
You might have.
Wow.
Yep. Andy Isabella.
Dude.
So it was time to hang it up, Mike.
I'm done. I retire on that.
I think he
that's
was,
a walk-off Andy Isabella
I think
knows.
He was a third rounder. I don't think he was that late.
Don't you start
Iowa
throwing
State
down on
in the
this.
Fourth rounder. Go see where Andy Isabella was drafted.
Just the fact that I knew Andy Isabella was from UMass ought to be enough. How dare you?
That's pretty good.
How dare you?
Remember, even Russell Wilson, his Virginia brethren, he kind of spelled this one coming.
I think Gary had a great day today. It was his best day yet. You know, he really needed it, I think, to be honest with you. I think he, just to make some plays, get the ball in his hands, and
that's a shame.
One, show himself that, you know, he can himself. You know, be great in this.
Yeah, we should have known right there. This
that's not
coming.
What you're looking for.
That if Russell goes, he needed it, and he had to show himself, and he had to tell himself. It's tough.
You're right about what you said earlier. Good on John Schneider and Pete Carroll for pulling the trigger and saying, look, fail fast, let's move on. Who do you think it was that finally said, yeah, I've seen enough? Is that a Pete thing, a John thing, a wide receiver coach thing? Like, who does
when
that?
When you draft someone in the fourth round, you give them a couple hundred grand, Mike, it's an everybody thing. You have to be in that room and say, hey, we all good with this because we're all going to swallow a little bit of pride, right? This is a bummer. We wanted to see this guy make it. When we take someone in the fourth round, we believe and look at their track record of fourth and fifth round guys. We believe this guy can be a starter and be more. So are we all on board with this? Yes.
Andy Isabella's second round pick.
There we go.
62 over.
So
just
now,
barely made it.
Yep. Just barely got dropped. So now it'll be interesting to see if he gets claimed by somebody. Right? And if he gets claimed by somebody, he immediately goes on their active roster for a month, which would be great for Gary. If he doesn't get claimed, then he'll probably have his pick of some practice squads to try to land on, and we'll see whether or not he can make more than Amara Darbo has in 3 years.
Got a tweet here back on the what the new midday show will be. The show of record with Tom, Betty White, and the corpse of Strom Thurmond. And Tom is still the most crotchety and sensitive of the crew. I can't believe Joel figured it out.
Wow.
Joel, how did you know we were going to resurrect Strom?
Have you noticed, by the way, is Tom's cut down, the grunt meter's gone up?
Yeah, he's so thin that he doesn't have enough joy in his life.
Is he hangry?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to, if Tom is going to take over this midday show, we're going to have to suggest, like, a feast.
Yeah.
A Tom feast. Would you guys like to have a feast for Tom?
Sign me up.
It didn't take much.
Wait, for who? For what? Let's do it.
Howdy's in for a feast.
Kyle, what was his name? Which Alaska Bush guy is Howdy?
He's Gabe.
He's Gabe.
He's Gabe Brown.
Google Gabe Brown.
I'll have to do that. I don't have any idea what you're talking
some
about.
Debate yesterday about whether Bob was taking the show of record moniker.
Oh, yeah.
Decided was that Grouse came up with the show of record. It meant almost nothing, and that it was probably just going to be dissolved.
That's a shame. Gabe Brown. Oh, my God. That is Howdy. Look at this guy. He's like a little elfin Howdy. How did you find that? Gabriel Brown, TV personality.
Brock watches a lot of reality TV show about, like,
except he's
Bush
ripped.
People.
He's like a, it's like Howdy back in the day. Back when he was the, what were you, the Sky Monkey?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Sky Monkey.
When Howdy had his long hair and was the Sky Monkey, this Bush guy has got a lot of Howdy in him. Like, but a little elven. Or elfin? How do you say that? Lydia, is it elfin or elven?
Hey, give us the next cadence, Kyle.
Lydia, elfin or elven? Which is that? Are you going to answer?
Ochenta, Roja, Ochenta! Lito de up!
Why is Luke Wilson here?
To entertain, Mike.
Is that it? Is it just that he's a good dude? I mean, Luke Wilson was an okay player a few years ago when the Seahawks let him go. He did nothing in Detroit and got cut in Oakland and not picked up by anybody else at a position that I'm sure some other teams could use. So pardon me if I'm a little skeptical. Now, I do believe that guys sometimes come back here and just fit this system and they're happy here and the scheme works and all that. And so I'll be happy to see Luke Wilson outperform my expectations, but my expectations are that he'll be cut within a few weeks.
Luke Wilson is coming back, yeah. With the change that happened, how fortunate could we be to get a guy that we love and knows our program? This is just a lifeblood, you know, energy guy in the program as well, and a really good ball player. So we made a switch. We got a chance to get Luke back in it. We're fortunate there.
I'm going to spin this. Maybe the first one, the Gary Jennings one about the competitive roster. I couldn't really get that out of my mouth and believe it. But I will spin this one and believe a whole bunch of it. Detroit with Matt Patricia in kind of that system that he went into is going to focus on the limitations. Unfortunately, you know, going to pay you a couple $1 million. You're too limited. Sorry, you're done. John Gruden's out of that school from 20 years ago. And yeah, man, you're just too limited. This program focuses more on what you can do. And they will not ask Luke to do things that are not in his wheelhouse. And he's got a minimum deal. He could be cut any week. But you know what? Let's bring him in. And some of these things that we have experienced with him, and we know he can do X well, we're not going to ask him to do Y. And we're going to actually play to his strengths. And I believe that is one of the strengths of this program, Mike. They do that more than many of their peers in this league. Not everybody. And some of the new age and some of the new guys and the Chiefs and the Rams and the teams that are high-flying right now, I think, have adopted some of that kind of player-friendly momentum. And what do you do best? And Luke can still do some things best, and I think that's why he's here.
Yeah, look, I'm hopeful that this works. I think everything you just said is probably true. But I'm not like, he's a limited player, and I hope this isn't just, well, they wanted his energy, they wanted his, you know, buy-in. Like, I hope they don't need all that on the way this team is right now.
Well, you
know
that's not Barry. I mean, what they wanted.
Techno Thursday is still on the block right now.
Oh.
Yeah, it's still out there. It's still out there.
Is that from yesterday?
he will pose all the influence he can, though. I know that. He will not let up.
You think Pete likes Luke Wilson?
So hold on. What did Pete mean?
Just a little bit.
I think Pete likes him.
I think just a little bit.
I think Pete likes Luke Wilson more than the afternoon show did.
What's it mean it's on the block?
Take
it's on the chopping block or it's on the block like it's ready to go on
I think
block?
It means it's on like ready to go.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. You think Pete's going to try to cut Techno Thursday?
Did you see Luke yesterday, by the way? Did you see
I saw the
videos?
Hair. I saw Lydia's tweet. You seemed a little jealous of Luke's hair.
Yeah, not a little, a lot.
Why?
A lot jealous.
What do you think he uses in it?
Yeah, I think he does it without product. That's the thing. He just wakes up like that.
You think
hashtag woke up like that.
You think he's got volume?
It's more of a sheen to it, just like a natural shininess.
Are you a big hair care product person? I ask for a reason because there's a follow up question.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do you know a lot
about me looking tired or something?
No. It's about my wife's hair care stuff. Do you know a lot of female hair care brands?
Sure, probably a decent amount.
There's one that's in my bathroom all the time. It's K-E-R...
Yes.
A
Keratos?
Yes.
Well, how do you pronounce it?
Keratos?
Keratos.
Yep.
There's an S in there, too, I think. Kerastos? Is that what it would be?
I mean, Keratos.
Keratos. I always read it as Kerastase every morning when I'm in the shower.
Oh, do you
and
use
always,
it?
No. It just sits
probably
there staring. It's right at eye level.
Too expensive to use. You don't want to use it.
No, I don't want to touch it.
No, use
I assume that if
don't
I use
even
it,
look at it,
my actually. Hair will have more volume, which is obviously the last thing I want. I'm looking for something to thin out the
what
hair.
What do you use? Suave?
I use Head and Shoulders because sometimes I get dandruff. Why do you have to bring up such a sensitive subject?
Sorry.
But the Kerastase. I always think it's
yeah,
like some...
Kerastase.
Kerastase.
Defensiv.
It seems like some sort of a, like a Romanian gymnastics coach named it or something
Lydia,
like
do
that.
You get what you pay for when it comes to hair product, you think?
I don't know. I'm not wealthy enough to buy really expensive hair care products, but I would imagine...
There are things in life, right? You get what you pay for. I think I've learned that lesson
true.
In life. There are absolutely things you get what you pay for.
Yes.
There are hair care products that way.
Kerastase.
Ask Luke Wilson, because clearly he knows.
Hey, Lydia, can you give us a cadence instead of just Kyle doing it? You think you can give us a
in
little...
any language. We'll take English, Spanish.
You go French, German, Spanish.
Kerastase, Romanian, whatever you want.
No, come on, please. Before the show's all done.
Give us a little cadence.
Trace.
Let's just count it.
Azul.
Hey!
Yes. Hey, La Maria, La Maria.
Good.
Rojas! George Fant had a higher Pro Football Focus rate than Dwayne Brown did over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Now, first of all, that means that's 2 out of 3 weeks Dwayne hasn't played very well, which is a question mark in and of itself. You just re-sign that guy, and that's somebody that I think you're hoping is going to be a big part of what you do.
Yep.
But does George Fant need to come in and play a little right tackle? Because from what I've seen, Jermaine Ifedi has still been awful.
Yeah, that is going to be the change. You pressed me yesterday. You backed me into the corner, which you do really well. It's exhausting, but you do it well. And just like, hey, well, if they can't run the ball, it's been 3 weeks, or they can't run the ball, they got to change the scheme. I think the first answer, and you know what? Look at this week. What do they do this week after this loss? Kind of evaluate the situation. Where do we sit? Where's Nick Vanek? Can we get a fifth-round value? Okay, bring Luke in. Constantly, these guys are looking at all this. Gary Jennings, can we make this move? We need a safety. Safeties have been pretty average. Kedrick, not a great grade either. Leno, not a great grade.
No, I saw that.
Tackling
he had a couple
grade,
missed
horrific.
Tackles.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Tackling grade
everybody
in the 30s.
Did.
Yep.
I still thought he played better than Kedrick. Had been.
We'll see what they decide this week.
They already decided.
Kedrick's going to be a full participant. What
no,
is
they
it?
Already decided. Leno's got the job.
Leno's going to start?
Yeah. No, they already made that decision. I think it has mostly to do with watching Kedrick and the fact that he still cost them 15 yards, Brock, even when he wasn't in uniform.
If any better get right this week. So they've got a couple good ends. Terrell Suggs being one of them. The other pass rusher is usually on the other side away from him. This is a game that Jermaine better get right. Like, I don't think Jermaine's got 16 games scripted in. They didn't pick up his option for the fifth year. This is a year that he's competing for his next contract somewhere. And if it doesn't get going, I for one, was hoping that would be a more legitimate competition.
I'm ready. Just get Fant in there. Just get him in. Let him start playing some right tackle, man. The Ifedi thing just drives me crazy. It honestly drives me nuts watching him. That's a first-round pick. End of the first round, but a first-round pick. How is it after 4 years he still looks lost every time they do a TE stunt? I mean, I don't know what that's like.
Well, that,
I've never
that
tried
one,
to defend a TE
that
stunt.
That one's a peanut butter and jelly. That one is also the guy next to him has to help. Those two.
Brock, it's been 4 years, and he's the common theme. Doesn't matter who's been next to him. Every time he's been out there, that play has been problematic. Throw in the various times he jumps. Throw in all the holding penalties. Throw in just it's issue after issue. It looked like it had improved last year. I got to tell you, my patience is thin in that one. All right, so the Seahawks have to try to defend Mr. Kingsbury and his air raid style offense along with Kyler Murray this weekend, Brock. If you're Pete, who are you asking about? Because it's not something you generally see in the NFL. How are you prepping for it?
In my personal opinion, he looks like he belongs on a Bachelor.
How about Gambo totally taken yesterday when I asked him if Cliff's good looking in person?
Wasn't expecting that.
No,
the ladies will love Mr. Kingsbury.
Does he not notice that?
Oh.
Is he so insecure in
maybe
himself?
He's so macho.
He can't notice the
Cliff. I mean, you guys hate him that much. You couldn't wait like four more weeks until to end the show before the Bucks game?
We're going to make a special appearance.
B.A. outlasted you two. That was amazing.
That was rotten to say. We're going to make it back. We may make a comeback before Bruce Arians. But geez, Brock. How does he not notice that Cliff Kingsbury is good looking?
Well, maybe they do professional radio down there. They don't talk about the looks of a head coach.
Well, then clearly he's got some sort of a machismo issue.
Pete was asked about this yesterday, about the air raid and defending it, and asked if he goes and he played it super coy. And he was like, yeah, we do. But I'm not going to tell you who we talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Stacey Rost emailed me yesterday and just said, hey, just doing a little work. And I don't know if she's putting a piece together or not. Or we'll talk about it on her show.
710sports.com.
There you go. And said, hey, what do you think? Well, I think there's a few places you look. Number one, look at the programs where Pete and John have drafted guys from consistently. Michigan being one of them. Utah being one of them. I think down at TCU and Gary Patterson's a guy. Iowa State is kind of the hotbed. That's where Bill Belichick went. I would also think that Pete and Bill have conversations. That Bill's a guy that Pete respects as a football guy. I think those would probably be some of the places I would start. And, oh, by the way, that guy down, I guess, from where we sit, right over there, over 520 on Montlake, Jimmy Lake, has got pretty good background with the air raid. Feels pretty cocky and pretty confident in his ability to stop it.
He thinks it's pretty easy.
Yeah, we know.
It's pretty simple.
And I think that he's been in that building more than a couple times.
Regardless of how easy it is to stop the air raid, it's got to be harder when it's Kyler Murray running it, right?
1,000%.
Because whether you stop, all right, great, we lock down all the simple routes.
Well, you don't think Luke Falk and Kyler Murray run the same air raid?
Man, I watched. Why? I was in Vegas this past weekend. We watched all the games on Sunday, which is a blast. So much fun to do there. And we had some interest in the Jets not losing by more than 20 points.
Rooting interest, yeah.
Watching Luke Falk, first of all, the pick six, when your boy from Auburn came in, Jared Stidham, and threw a pick six, that was a big moment. People were screaming in Vegas over a worthless pick six. Very funny. But Luke Falk still, head just bobbleheading off the turf.
Yep.
Every time he gets hit.
Just holding the ball, and holding the ball.
How does anybody get tackled as horribly as he does every single time?
Because he never gets rid of the ball.
Yeah. Gosh, even when he does, he gets killed.
Yep. He takes a beating.
Yes, I think Kyler Murray running, that's different, just different skills.
That's what Pete said yesterday, that Kyler Murray tailored to that offense.
You know, I think what's enhanced here is the movement of the quarterback. You know, when any offense that has a quarterback that can move like this, it just causes just major issues. And it happens to be that they spread you all out, so there's a lot of room. You know, so it's you can see why they picked him. You can see why they picked the coach. The whole thing, it all fits together really well.
That guy running around, Brock, in a spread out system makes me pretty nervous.
They gave up 8 sacks last week. How many though do you think that is because he's trying to extend those plays?
A bunch. Yeah, I think if there's 16, Gambo said 7 are on him this year. Of extending plays, just sliding, maybe not seeing pressure. I'll tell you though, and we'll talk a little more about the matchup tomorrow. I'm a little fearful. If they blitzed Teddy Bridgewater 14% last week, I guarantee you the plan this week, knowing Pete, is we're not blitzing. You blitz, you give up what? You give a big play. You blitz, you play man, right. You turn your back.
Especially
you give
when
up
you
a big
miss
play.
And tackling.
So that means we're going to see a bunch of four-man rush. You're going to see a lot of zone coverage. So Ziggy and Jadavian and crew, you best be on it this week. Like, you better not let this guy out, or he's going to scramble around. He's going to extend plays. He's going to do that, and it's going to drive me absolutely batty and nuts.
Yeah. What happened?
By the way, did he not look, as you watched him, does he not look like Dante Hall, the human joystick?
He does.
I mean, size, movement,
the X-factor?
Quickness, the X-factor.
How did that guy get two nicknames? He was both the X-factor and the human joystick.
That was amazing.
He would do that
stretch.
X thing after he scored, like he was Exhibit, Mr. X to the Z. I loved Exhibit. That guy's an underrated, fun rapper. Kyle, you know who we always compare to Exhibit is Joel. Joel's got a lot of
Exhibit. The parallels are unbelievable.
They're uncanny,
really.
Right? All right, that's our trip. It wasn't around the NFL. It turned out to just be rapid fire. Who knew?
There's no huddle.
We thought Roscoe!
There's
no huddle. Wasn't either of those things.
Roscoe! Dance it, huh?
Is that Wassel?
Yeah, that's when we used to have Wassel under center.
That's when he wasn't dilapidated.
He was too thin.
Yes.
Poor Wassel. That guy's wasting away. I feel bad for him. He comes into the office like a waif. You're just like, I hope he's all right. He looks sullen and he's sunken. The poor guy. No, he looks good. I'm happy for Tom. Right? Mostly?
Okay. Can you tell me about Paul Gallant?
No, I can barely tell you about him. I barely know him. He came out for an interview. We hung out with him for a day. I know that he went to T-Mobile, was super pumped to try the crickets crushed a full thing of the crickets.
Whoa.
But that's about all I could tell you. Why don't you meet him? We will meet him together. Danny O'Neill with Paul Gallant. That is the new morning show, and we will talk to Paul next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, this hour is still brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. The news has been trickling out. It started when we announced that this show is going to change. We are no longer going to be doing a daily radio show. We've switched it up. Tomorrow will be our last radio show. And then after what I'm sure will be some tears, Brock, we will turn this thing into a weekly podcast, which will start next week. It'll come out on Wednesday.
That was fun yesterday, wasn't it?
It was fun. Yeah, we had a little
meeting. It felt like back in the day, putting in like base personnel.
Yes.
We didn't even get to the third down or red zone package. Just trying to install our base offense in this podcast yesterday and defense.
Woo! We'll ask some more questions about it from you guys, because I'm kind of curious whether you want podcast style or Brock and Salk to not change at all or whatever. So we'll get into that. But if you want to be a part of our future here with the podcast, please text podcast to 710-710, and then you'll get a bounce back. You got to then write back yes, and then
folks.
Click the link. So I was noticing,
we're looking at the numbers here.
Howdy,
come
on. It looks like 8,000 people have written back podcast, but only 2,000 have then opted in by saying yes.
Mm.
It seems like a pretty low number. So
you have
like
to hit yes. Do
three
you have to spell
quarters
yes?
of you aren't. It didn't work out for. So you know, if you haven't written back yes, you got to do that and then click the link and then press subscribe.
Ooh,
so please come join us. We want you to be a part of this thing. Further news came out yesterday when Danny O'Neill announced that he would be moving from the afternoon show.
Which, yes.
And would be replaced by Bob Stelton.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob is going to be the new host of the afternoon show with Jim and Dave. They'll call it Bob, Dave, and More. Bob Stelton moving from middays to afternoons with Jim and Dave. That show is going to be awesome, by the way. I think that'll be a pretty seamless transition. I know Bob and Danny aren't the same, but just I think those guys all like each other. They're friends. There's a lot of commonality there.
Yep.
And they will have a new producer as well. Maura Dooley will go from John Clayton's slot to there. Danny, as you mentioned, will come here with Jessamyn McIntyre. So Danny will be hosting the morning show from 7 to 10 every day. Lydia will continue to do the Blitz at 6. Mm-hmm. Danny will come in at 7 along with our guest right now, Paul Gallant, who joins us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Paul, the new host of Danny and Gallant. Good morning, Paul. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's great to be officially on the air with y'all.
How's that sound, by the way? The Danny and Gallant.
I think doesn't it roll right off the tongue? Come on now.
Yes, it does.
There's something about the word gallant that's just easy to say on the radio. And Danny, being as much of a radio professional as he is, we figured the only thing to do was to have him say gallant as often as possible.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And if he says my middle name, it'll sound especially French. My middle name is Maurice.
Oh, whoa.
Paul Maurice Gallant. Oui, oui, monsieur. So, we could sound really, really super classic.
You should not tell Danny that. Hopefully he's not listening right now.
No, he's listening.
Because that's going to be a disaster.
He's writing notes.
Once he knows that. Give us a little quick bio. Tell us a little bit about yourself so that people can prepare for you.
All right. So I've been sort of wandering across the United States over the course of my life. I grew up in Massachusetts, lived there until I was 14, moved to St. Pete, Florida for high school, moved back up north and froze my keister off at Syracuse, New York for another 4 years. And I've been burninating in Houston, Texas for the last 8, working at Sports Radio 610, covering the Houston Texans. I know a lot of people are probably thinking this right now. Did Bill O'Brien actually trade me in addition with Jadeveon Clowney to the city of Seattle? No, I cannot confirm that, but I'm a huge, huge fan of the National Football League. Grew up going to games at Foxborough Stadiums, freezing on benches and watching games in the cold. And I'm really excited to be working at a station that's also partnered up with a football team that, honestly, I really respect. You grew up in Massachusetts. If you're a Patriot fan, you look at things in a certain way. And there's only a couple of teams that I've really looked at over, like, the last 20 years that I feel like are really, like, definitively just well-run organizations. The Seahawks are one of them. I'm so pumped to be able to cover Russell Wilson. I'm pumped to get to see a little more Jadeveon Clowney. I'm really excited for this move.
How about the city of Seattle? What are you most excited when you think about this place and you've watched all the games and everything else? And I know you were in T-Mobile last week. How about just moving to this city?
Oh, it's something else. You know, I was talking about this last night with Danny. I used to play this video game, NCAA football. 2006 is my favorite version of the game, and I always used to play at UCLA because I liked their uniforms. And I remember whenever they had the game against Washington, at Washington, and just seeing, like, the background scenery of Washington, even though this was basically on an old Xbox, I was like, man, this city looks just unbelievably beautiful. And then I got basically a couple of hours to wander around Seattle. I did the basic going down to Pike Street Market and hanging out down there, and I had a little salmon. It was fantastic. And, you know, I can't say enough about how cool this city is. And I've only been there basically for like a day. So I can't wait to explore it some more and do all the different things. I mean, there are mountains and water right next to this city. That I cannot fathom. I mean,
it's fresh water, too.
Houston right now.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
It's not fresh water. Don't get caught up in this, Paul. This is a disaster. Don't let them fool you.
You got to know the difference.
It's salt water. It's definitely salt water.
Lake Union and the Elliott. Like, you got to know that difference.
He'll learn that. It'll all come for him. Plus, not only did he eat the salmon.
The one lake I can drink from?
Yeah. No, don't do that. Not Lake Union, whatever you do.
But you can drink from Green Lake.
Don't do that either. I won't even go into Green Lake, and I live there, for God's sakes. All right. Hey, which was better, the salmon you got at Pike Place Market or the crickets you got at T-Mobile Park?
Oh, yeah. So I did. I ate the crickets. Look, crickets are crickets. And I mean, I'm assuming anytime you buy something that's less than $100 at a baseball park or any arena, you're probably not going to get the highest quality thing. But I'm not going to lie. It wasn't the worst thing in the world. It was like limey sunflower seeds. It was very, very chewy. But, yeah, obviously the salmon was way, 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 way better. I don't think I'm ever doing the crickets again.
We're getting you guys ready for the show. Show will start on Monday. You and Danny, and this is Paul Gallant who's joining us here. You and Danny will have the morning show. Michael Bumpus will be a big part of it as well, former Coug and Seahawks wide receiver. He'll be on with you guys a lot. You'll be talking to Pete every Monday at 9:30. Bumpus will be there to be a part of that interview as well every week, which should be awesome. Brock was sort of thinking about this earlier. What is, you know, just so we understand, understand you as a sports personality. Give us like a hill, a sports hill you're willing to die on, something that you just, you believe very strongly to your core in sports.
Okay, I don't want to make people angry on this one.
Don't do that.
Oh, boy. Definitely.
Oh, no. Show hasn't even started.
Prefacing.
Use the filter, Paul. Okay. Don't make people mad. Whatever you're going to do.
Don't worry. Okay, look. So I can't deny that it gave some sort of competitive advantage. However, I think the magnitude of the competitive advantage that Spygate supposedly gave the New England Patriots.
This doesn't help. This
doesn't help. Overplayed.
So you're not playing this right. The easy answer here is that that Seattle should still have the Sonics. Just keep it simple. This is my first lesson for you.
Isn't that obvious?
It's simple. That's just obvious. Say the hill I'm willing to die on is that Seattle needs an NBA team. You're a huge NBA guy.
Oh, we're gonna bring the fight to the NBA. I mean, we're gonna make it happen. I don't know how much power we're gonna have as a show in terms of bringing the team back, but you bet. That is going to be something that I'm going to be beating the drum to, perhaps the point of annoyance when I finally get up there. The fact that you guys don't have a basketball team, that we don't have a basketball team, I gotta look at it from my perspective now, is a joke. And I really cannot wait. I cannot wait for it to come back, and we're going to help bring it back.
You got any tattoos, Paul?
I do not, no.
Okay. Do you think I would have hired a guy with a tattoo?
Well, let me recommend this, okay? Felix has fallopian tubes on his neck.
Disgusting.
I think you should do the old Sonic logo on your neck.
Oh.
Like if you really want to engender yourself with these people out here, get a Sonic logo on your neck tattoo, and the Seattle folks will love you.
I mean, how about go even further? How about somehow figure out a way to make it look like Mike Tyson's tattoo? Huh?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Then no one's gonna mess.
Don't
it.
Do that. Don't do either one. Whatever you do, don't do the fallopian tubes that Felix has on his face. That's the worst. Hey, Paul, we're really excited.
Like
about
a poor
it.
Choice. I'm really pumped too, Mike and Brock. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to get up there.
Cool. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, and we'll hear you on the air Monday morning at 7 o'clock with Danny and Michael Bumpus. Thanks, man. Congrats.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. There's Paul Gallant. You can follow him on Twitter at Gallant Says, GallantSays. Gallant Says.
Sounds like a nice guy.
He's a good dude.
Sounds
I really
like
enjoyed
it with Danny.
We spent a lot of time together, and howdy, Kyle got to meet him. Everybody around. He did some demos with people here, and he's good, man.
Got
I think
a nice
every,
beard.
He Ooh. Does. It's very well manicured.
Yes. Yeah. If Luke Wilson's got great hair,
yeah.
Paul's got an immaculate beard.
Yes. Yeah, I think people are going to like him. I'm looking forward to it. There'll be some things about him that'll drive you a little crazy, but good. You need a little of that. I'm stepping off the airway. Somebody's got to drive you a little crazy, right? Paul will have a little of that, but I think you guys are going to really, really come to like him. He's an interesting, unique human being. So there you go. Pretty excited. All right, so Danny and Paul. Danny and Gallant is the name of the show. That'll be every morning, 7 to 10 after the Blitz. And then John Clayton, a new 12 to 3 show, which will be announced today at 2:45. And then Bob Stelton, Jim Moore, Dave Wyman will take you home with the afternoon show every night. So there you go. That is a lot of the new lineup here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We will determine what is in the news and how important it is together next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
I'm going to miss good news, bad news, no news. It's been sort of a staple here for the last 3 years, ever since we stole it from Bill Radke. You used to do it, I think, on Cairo or something akin to it. But it won't make the transition, I don't think, to the podcast. It doesn't, you know, it's very topical. The podcast is a little more evergreen. Mm-hmm. So it's only two more of these, Brock.
So, question for you. Yeah. My buddy David Reeve emailed me that picture. We're talking safari.
Yeah.
Good news, bad news, no news. Taking a picture amongst, a million wildebeest?
Good news.
You'd enjoy that.
I would like to go on safari and see all that. It's the snakes that scare me. Everything else I'm in.
Kyle, remember when we were in Suncadia?
I remember.
And we had the overnight, and it was Danny and Tom and you, and we had just
Brady,
the elk herd. Down below. Do you remember
Tom
how terrified Tom was at the elk herd?
They were 400 yards away, yes. And Tom's like, we shouldn't be standing
Yeah,
there.
He's like, well,
he's saying, so you think we could run faster than them?
Right. Out.
Like, well, they're not going to hunt us.
That's just good common sense on Tom's part, I think.
Good
What's
news.
In the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Felix Hernandez will make what is likely to be his last start in Seattle tonight when the Mariners face the A's.
Good news. Kind of like the Astros moving out, like 1-18 versus the Astros, and you're just done with them this year. That's not a competitive environment. I think for Felix, this is good news. He needs a start somewhere else. Maybe something kindles the fire a little bit more. Maybe just the real adversity he will get from not having a contract. Everything else, it's just not going to work here. over the last three seasons. It hasn't worked both physically, I think emotionally, but he'll get one more swan song with an absolutely full house, blasted out King's Court, celebrating what he was in the past. And I think all the way around, good news.
That'll be good. That is very much a Mariner fan base tradition, right? To come out and say a fond goodbye to a guy who brought untold joy over and over again. Felix Day became a thing because it was something you would look forward to, not just because the rest of the team was bad, but because each one of those starts felt like a gift. In his prime, every Felix start was a gift to watch. And I'm excited for everybody to get out and celebrate him for a final time tonight. And I hope you're better than me. I hope you can think only about the good times, because it's hard for me. These last 4 years have been brutal, and he's cost them at least one, if not two, trips to the playoffs. I know the team failed him early in his career. He failed them later.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Seahawks cut wide receiver Gary Jennings, their 2019 fourth-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have to say it's good news because they realized the mistake they had. They moved on. They have other wide receivers. Two other guys have stuck with the team, and hopefully John Ursu will start to make some level of impact at some point. But this is a hard one, man. That's a fourth-round pick who doesn't make it four games, doesn't make it a quarter of your season. Maybe the league doesn't even want him. We'll see. Maybe he ends up back in your practice squad, but that's a miss.
Yeah, I'm going to say perception-wise, it's really bad news. I think the reality, and I said this, I believe, yesterday, talking some college football on our Washington Wednesday, the reality is teams like 8 through 30 in college football, throw a blanket on them. They're all basically the same. Any team on any given day, and injuries and home field and road and execution are going to find a way to win or lose, really. Yeah. I think it's about 50-50. I think when you look at it, and you said this earlier, Mike, the difference between a fourth and seventh round pick, I think for the Seahawks, like, throw a blanket on all that stuff. Chris Carson was a seventh rounder. Who's to say John Ursua isn't going to get his opportunity and show him? What if they were just flipped? Right? What if Carson was the third round pick and Procise was a seventh round pick? What if Ursua was the fourth round pick and Jennings was a seventh round pick? Like, is there that much difference between draft picks? If you look at these drafts,
good question.
You know, fourth through seven. So I think some of that is perception. But, you know, for Jennings, likewise with Felix, hopefully he finds a better situation than the one he had here.
Yeah, I wonder whether this gets done. Like, I'm trying to take myself back to the draft and put myself in John Schneider's shoes. Does he say, look, this might not work, but this guy's got an incredible upside, so let's take a chance here in the fourth round. If it pays off, we've got the next Antonio Brown without the crazy. And if it doesn't pay off, all right, we had a couple other fourth-round picks, and we just move on, and we'll fail quick. Let's find out.
I'll try to give you some intel from what I do know factually what happens in that room. What happens is they've got their grade, right? And this is all really clinical. And they've got these grades, Mike, on all these guys. And what usually happens in those rounds is there's not much that separates. I remember when they drafted Turbin. There were three or four guys, and they went to Sherman Smith, and they went to those guys and said, hey, I want you to evaluate all of them. I want your input, receiver coach, running back coach. I want your input, scout. I want your input, Pete. Here's the guys. So here's the grades that we have. And more than likely, Mike, there were six, maybe there were three or four receivers with all very similar grades. And it was, okay, which one do we feel best about? Which one from a personality, from a relationship with Russell Wilson, the background in Virginia, that, you know, the work ethic, the speed at the Senior Bowl. Like, you're just looking for very small differentiating factors that I think, unfortunately, with this pick, did not work out.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Dwayne Brown and Rashad Penny among the names that sat out practice while Ziggy Ansah was limited with a back injury.
Lydia talked to me this day. Today I'm going to say no news on Wednesday, right? You saw a couple guys in Lockett and in DK that they're protecting with their knee, their back, their hamstring, non-injury related, day off on a Wednesday. Let's look at this thing today. Ziggy needs to practice. He needs to practice. He needs the work. He needs to get his legs underneath him. I'd like to see Dwayne Brown be able to practice. He's not been as sharp through three games as he was a year ago. So today, no news. This afternoon, that injury report to me will be quite newsworthy.
I agree with every single thing Brock just said. I don't want to add anything. But Ziggy Ansah makes me very nervous. I'm very, very nervous about Ziggy Ansah.
Let's get back to that in 10 minutes.
I plan to.
Okay.
Good news, bad news.
Gosh, we're almost
on
the same page. No, it took 10 years. Great.
NHL Seattle hired Hall of Famer Cammy Granato, believed to be the first female pro scout in hockey.
Yeah, and that's actually awesome news. Great hockey family. Her brother, Tony Granato, played. I know he played for the Kings. I think he played for a few other teams as well as a coach internationally here for the U.S. Great hockey family. Cammy herself was a Olympic medalist and I believe the first woman in the Pro Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm saying that without a lot of confidence, but I think that's
just say it confidently.
I know she's in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure if she was the first person in, but congratulations. That's a really, really cool deal and excited to see how that goes.
And great news on Ulf.
I don't want to talk anymore about Ulf Samuelsson. It really
was it Ulf Samuelsson?
It hurt my soul.
Didn't he win the world's strongest man competition too? Or
that's what was that guy's name?
Magnus Vermagnesen.
Magnus Vermagnesen. The funny thing is, Ulf Samuelsson did have a brother who also played with him on the blue line. Jell Samuel or Kel K J E L L.
Not Magnus.
Not Magnus Magnusson. No. Magnusson. Very upset about the Samuelsson thing.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Baker Mayfield says he's not worried about any criticism from Rex Ryan.
Whatever. I mean, in the wise words of Freddie Kitchens, if you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter. And Rex Ryan doesn't have any colors right now for a reason, so it's okay.
Oh, snap.
Oh, dude, shut up.
I like
shut
it.
Up. I mean, he didn't just bring it up. He was asked about
right.
it.
Right. What was he supposed to
Rex
say?
Rex talked about him. Then he was asked about it.
Right. Sure. He said, nobody else matters except for
thank you, Rex Ryan, sir. You're a legendary NFL Hall of Fame coach.
You could have ended
thank
it
you.
There and been just fine.
By the way.
You don't have to mention that he's not in the league. Now, he's done a lot more than you've
that's
ever
true.
Done in this league. So
by the
just
way,
zip it.
It's has too bad those guys would be an explosive.
Bringing the Jets to the AFC Championship game, Kyle,
couple times.
Have you seen since? A couple times in that organization.
If Rex and Baker had been together.
What's that?
Can you imagine Rex and Baker together? Oof. That would have been an explosive and entertaining combination for the back pages in New York.
You ever look at guys, and Freddie Kitchens he mentioned, and just say, man, that guy drinks a lot of whiskey. Like, there's just some faces.
I don't think that
there's
about
some
him.
Faces people look at mine and say they want to punch me in the face.
Yes.
Like, it's a punchable face. I've
seen that.
Are there some that you just look at and go, man, that's a drinker?
I mean, when I met Ted Kennedy in person, I mean, his nose was bulbous and the reddest thing I've ever seen. You just look at it and you're like, that guy has had drinks every hour of his day forever. I've never seen anything like Ted Kennedy's nose. I met him. I've told this story maybe before. I was working for a guy running for governor in Massachusetts, and a guy, maybe some of you remember, Dick Gephardt, who was a congressman.
Really thought we were going to get a Paul Tsongas reference.
No.
I thought we were going to get a Dukakis.
Dang it!
Dick Gephardt ran for president a few times. He's from the Midwest, and he's from Missouri. He was a congressman from Missouri. I drove him around for the day, and the day ended with me dropping him off at a helipad where Ted Kennedy in his helicopter picked him up and whisked him off somewhere.
Oh, wow.
But I got to meet Teddy, which, you know, for a guy growing up in New England, was a huge deal.
In the
nose?
In the nose?
Dude! First of all, he's gigantic. Second of all, he had the largest hands. He had Steve Vallow's hands. Big, giant meat hook hands. And when I shook hands with Ted Kennedy, you're just like, oh my God, those things are huge and strong. But then you look at his head. He's got this gigantic, enormous head and a nose that looks like the gross guard at the beginning of Braveheart. You know, the guy who takes his wife into the back and she bites him in the face. He's got that huge, bulbous nose. That's kind of what Teddy's nose looked like up in person.
Great. So,
anyway, there you go. Good news.
Back to Ziggy next.
All good news. It's Brock and Salk.